Welcome to Making America Strong Again, the only program dedicated to inspire you and to inspire a nation with stories of American exceptionalism and national restoration. Join fellow patriots as we rediscover our past, reignite our future, and celebrate America now.
Well, welcome to the program this week. We are excited to be here with you. This is Steve Olds, and I'm pleased to join you from South Florida, and I'd like to welcome all of our listeners on the iHeart Radio Network, as well as our Patriot Podcast. Thanks for being with us today, and we're going to cover some interesting territory, and actually, we're going to have a little fun in the process. Have you ever noticed when folks are way too serious and don't have much fun, life isn't all that enjoyable? So today, we're going to look at things from a little bit of a different perspective. Over the last several weeks, we've talked about a number of founding liberty principles, and we're going to talk about the sixth one in our track this week. But we're going to talk about it in the form of a couple of stories. So here's a question. What do these three things have in common? Intellectual property, the pilgrims, and elephants. Now, how's that for a question? The funny thing is that each of these separate, seemingly very diverse ideas actually come together in our liberty principle. Let me read it to you. We believe personal property rights and the free enterprise system are timeless constitutional cornerstones upon which America was founded. So let's unpack that a little bit. What are personal property rights? Well, personal property rights are the fact that in the Constitution, we have, as Americans, the opportunity to create things and actually own them. We don't immediately give another entity like the government control of our ideas and production. Now, that's a unique idea, especially for a lot of countries around the world where individual citizens are not afforded the opportunity to own what they produce. And it's interesting, if you go to the term intellectual property, you know, that's kind of a heady term, but what it really means is the stuff that comes out of your brain that has value. So if you have an idea that has marketplace value and you take that idea and you develop it, it's intellectual property. It started out of your mind. Perhaps you were sparked with an idea. Think of all the really cool inventions. Think about, here's one for you. There was a guy, and I don't remember his name, but he was from Europe, and he came up with the idea that ultimately became text messaging. That idea was worth a fortune. Now, unfortunately for him, he didn't protect that idea. He didn't protect or make it publicly known that he owned that idea, and therefore that idea and the technology that would drive that idea, which would create ultimately billions and billions of dollars in profit for the companies that took his idea and delivered it to the marketplace, that intellectual property was valuable. Do you ever remember the Rubik's Cube? Same thing was true there. Somebody came up with a cool idea. He was playing with a toy, but he didn't protect it. He didn't take that intellectual property and either put a trademark or a patent on it, depending on the particular property, and own it himself. Well, when you look at what we have the opportunity to do in America, and the theme that we've been driving through is all around small business and entrepreneurship, it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter what your experience is in the business world, you can easily identify a problem and a solution to that problem that has marketplace value. How many times have you said, you know, if I was in charge of that particular situation, I would do it this way or I would do it differently? And then maybe months or years later, voila, you see somebody solve that problem. Now, then you begin to think, I wonder what that was worth and what would have happened had I done that. Well, the beautiful part about living in America is that we have the opportunity, by making a simple decision, to pursue those ideas, that intellectual property. And what do you do with the ideas? What do you do with that? Well, it becomes your personal property. You have a right to own that personal property. And then what can you do with it? Well, the cool thing is you can actually take it to market. You can deliver it into the free enterprise system. Well, what's free enterprise? That's another one of those terms like we talked about last week when we defined capitalism. Well, let's define free enterprise. Free enterprise is an economic and political doctrine holding that a capitalist economy can regulate itself in a freely competitive market through the relationship of supply and demand with a minimum of government intervention and regulation. Now, if you're looking at the news these days, you probably don't see a minimum of government intervention and regulation. And as a matter of fact, you don't even see nearly as much competitive market as we used to. And part of that is because there is a strong drive in many sectors of America to control what it is that we do and how we do it, which is the antithesis of how the founders of the country and the framers of the Constitution looked at America. So when you really begin to dig into our history and you say, okay, how did this come about? And furthermore, even if you don't want to study history, what can you do today that will impact your future and your family? Because candidly, there are a lot of people right now that are looking at budgets, they're looking at money, they're looking at the future expenses of college education, retirement, et cetera, et cetera. And you can easily find yourself in a position where there's not going to be enough money to make it work. Well, you have some choices, and a lot of people right now are facing them. We have a big debate over health care right now. There's a big decision coming from the Supreme Court that's going to decide many things about health care. But what it comes down to in your daily life is the money that it's going to cost for you to continue to operate your household or perhaps your business if you have employees. So one of the things that you can do to head off shortfalls is to think of ways to leverage the ideas, the intellectual property you have in your mind, and put that into the marketplace. And it's not nearly as hard as you might think. It doesn't have to be a big, convoluted, complex idea. It could simply be the answer to a problem that people that you know are having in their workplace, in the marketplace, or perhaps in an environment that you've seen online. You ever see a phone app that you use on your iPhone or your Android that solves a problem? There are tons of apps out there that do that. Did you know that you can actually create your own app? You can create your own app. There's lots of different ways to do it, but that's just a simple idea. Or it may be on the other side of the scale that you've got an idea for a recipe. You know, people often joke about Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders was, by today's standards, an old man when he came up with the idea of bringing his fried chicken recipe to the market. And you'd be surprised how many people told him that would never work. That would never work. Well, if you look around the world, you would be blown away if you knew how many Kentucky Fried Chickens are opening up every day in emerging countries around the world, including places like China. So when we begin to look at free enterprise and look at the power that free enterprise has, we can then begin to look at our lives and say, how can I take advantage of this? That's why it's a timeless constitutional cornerstone. In other words, when we understand that our capability to live our lives as we decide, to take our God-given ideas and insight and wisdom and leverage that in a way that serves our families, our communities, our state, and our nation, we have an awesome opportunity. Now ask yourself, how many people do you know that actually take advantage of that? You know, you've probably heard the colloquialism that we only use 10% of our brain in our entire life. The brain is an amazing machine. Well, think about it in terms of what it is that you have in your mind, the ideas that you have. And you may be thinking, you know, I don't have time. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the money. I don't have this, that, and the other thing. That's certainly one way to look at it. But it's amazing what happens when you tell your brain you don't have something. The brain says, okay, if you say so, let me offer an alternative. Suppose you said to yourself, self, I have an idea. I'm not exactly sure how to get it figured out, but I'm going to find a way to figure it out. Guess what your brain says? Your brain says, let's find a way to figure it out. And here's the cool part about free enterprise. You don't have to do it by yourself. As a matter of fact, it's much more effective to work on a team of people that bring their skills and ideas to the market. Because you may be a creator, you may be a real creative person, and you don't want to deal with the details, for example, of managing the creation of an app in one of our previous examples. Well, you know what? There are a lot of folks that would love to manage the creation of an app because they really enjoy the tech stuff. And there are other people who like to fund new businesses. They're angel investors, folks that would invest $5, $10, $15, $20,000 in an idea if it was solid. So imagine now you have an idea. You think it has value in the marketplace. That, of course, has to be tested and verified. But you could begin to put a little team together that could create revenue to serve you, your family, and those on your team. That, my friends, is the development of personal property in a free enterprise system. The beautiful part about that free enterprise system is it's limitless. We can grow and develop whatever it is that we can imagine. And when we imagine big ideas, even those that start small, the world changes. America changed the world because we had an idea. Our founders had an idea that they could create a country that was founded on the Judeo-Christian biblical principles that God is the one that gives us rights, not the government, not the king. And they launched a new idea called America. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the elephants and the pilgrims, and we're going to have some fun. Thanks for being here.
Making America Strong Again is brought to you by Patriot Mission. To learn more about national restoration, get free resources at www.makingamericastrongagain.com.
Hi, this is Kelly Fisher, a supporter of the Making America Strong Again mission and your local real estate professional here on the Treasure Coast. It has been my honor to serve our wonderful community since 2003, and with over 1,500 home sales over the past 21 years, it's my hope that you will consider the Kelly Fisher team at Treasure Coast Sotheby's International Realty for all your real estate needs. Whether you are buying, selling, investing, or just need some friendly advice, our mission is to serve you with integrity and to negotiate your best deal. We offer concierge real estate services to beautiful homes in every price range. Please visit us at kellysoldmyhome.com, and may we also invite you to view over 100 raving fan client testimonials on Zillow.com and Realtor.com. Please call me at 772-321-6905.
At Surf Pro of Vero Beach, no job is too big and no question is too small. So when fire, water, or mold damage strikes your home or business, call on Surf Pro of Vero Beach at 772-770-0501. That's where you'll find a team of specialists that's faster to any size disaster. So when the things that matter most are on the line, make sure Surf Pro of Vero Beach is too by calling 772-770-0501. That's Surf Pro of Vero Beach, helping make fire, water, and mold damage like it never, ever happened. Franchises are independently owned and operated.
When you pay too much for your stuff, you get frustrated. When you get frustrated, you eat junk food and watch reality TV. When you eat junk food and watch reality TV, your clothes don't fit and your friends stop calling. When your clothes don't fit and your friends stop calling, you get depressed, adopt 27 cats, and paint your house plaid. When you adopt 27 cats and paint your house plaid, your neighbors report you to the authorities. Don't get in trouble with the authorities. Shop at the Habitat Home Center Restore, where you can get all sorts of stuff for great prices. You can also donate your stuff, and we'll pick it up for free and give you tax credit documents. so you can shop, donate, or volunteer at the friendly, bargain-filled Indian River Habitat Home Center Restore, located on US 1 North in Vero Beach, just past 45th Street Eastside. Phone us at 772-257-0222. 772-257-0222. Habitat Home Center Restore is a not-for-profit. Welcome back to Making America Strong Again, the program dedicated to inspire you and to inspire a nation with stories of American exceptionalism and national restoration. Once again, here's your host, Steve Olds.
Well, welcome back. We're talking about the free enterprise system today, and specifically in context of our sixth liberty principle, which is that we believe personal property rights and the free enterprise system are timeless constitutional cornerstones upon which America was founded. And in our first segment, we talked about intellectual property. We talked about how it is that you can come up with an idea, you can develop that idea, and our Constitution gives you the capability to decide what to do with it. You can do nothing and let it die. Or you can get together with a handful of buddies in a college dorm room and create a company like Facebook in a couple of years. Think about that. Mark Zuckerberg and the guys in the dorm room in 2004 that launched what was then called the Facebook for one college campus now have a website that has over 1.7 billion users around the globe. 200 million users in the United States who are adults. Think about that. That was 2004. It was 11 years ago. All from an idea. So don't discount your ideas. They may go through some development. They may go through some changes. But you may have something that can change the world. Because each of us has an innate gift to do something that matters. And it may be in a micro scale. It may be in a macro scale. But drill down and ask yourself what it looks like. But let's talk a little bit about two of the other elements of the story that I mentioned at the beginning. I said we were going to talk about how intellectual property, the pilgrims, and elephants all have something to do with one another. So let's talk about the pilgrims. Have you ever been to Plymouth? It's a nice outing. If you've never been to Plymouth, Massachusetts, you should go sometime. We have some big goals ahead of us for the year 2020. And one of the amazing quote-unquote coincidences about the year 2020 that we didn't realize when we were planning our strategy for making America strong again was that 2020 happens to be the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims landing at Plymouth Rock. So this summer, a number of our leadership partners and individuals that are working on this whole concept of making America strong again are going to get together in Plymouth, and we're going to talk about some pretty important things. But one of the things I learned when I went there a few years ago was what happened that most people don't realize when the Plymouth plantation first started. When the Pilgrims first got to Massachusetts, of course, it wasn't Massachusetts at the time. It was a place where they landed and got out of the storms and set up shop. Well, the original economic system was actually a socialist system. Everybody got the same amount of food. Everybody was supposed to work together, and everything was divided equally. And in that process, the Pilgrims almost starved to death. Why? Because there were some folks that worked and worked hard. And there were other folks that figured out they could let the folks that wanted to work hard keep doing it, and they'd get to eat anyway, whether they worked or didn't work. Well, turns out that wasn't such a pretty good system. You know, it's the Let the money come from the rich folks and give it to the poor folks and wonder why the poor folks don't want to go to work. You ever look around America right now and wonder why there are people who make more money on government programs than the median wages in a particular market? You say, well, why would I want to go to work if I can just enjoy the fruit of somebody else's labor and watch TV and eat donuts all day? Well, that program only lasts so long. And right now in America, there are 93 million people out of the workforce. We have a population of about 315 million people. So how long do you think those numbers are going to work? You can only raise taxes so long. You can only disincentivize the people who are willing to go take their intellectual property, create new personal property that has value in the marketplace, and create capital, which is then overtaxed and given to people who don't want to work. So the governor of Massachusetts figured out something different. He said, you know what? We're going to change this program up a little bit. We're going to cut up the territory based on the size of the family, and you're going to get a chance to keep what you grow. And then if you have extra food that you don't need for your family, you can sell it. And I'm simplifying it for the sake of time. But guess what happened? The capitalist system in a free enterprise environment flourished. And the pilgrims that wanted to work worked hard. And they enjoyed the fruits of their labor. They enjoyed what they produced. They enjoyed the result of putting their mind and their body to work to create something that had value in their marketplace. And that idea began to spread. That was in the 1600s. So from the 1620s all the way until the Revolution, up until our Constitution was approved in the 1790s, and now in America, we see a progression that started with an idea that we're going to share and share alike, moves to a capitalist free enterprise market. We create a nation born of an idea that we have God-breathed rights, one of which is our personal property right to create and be creative. And now that's beginning to come full circle. Why do we focus on the Constitution and the timeless nature of this? Because right now, there are organizations of bureaucracies all over the United States and in localities and in states that want to control what it is that you produce. And you have to decide what's important. You have to decide whether it is that you'd like to comment on that. Now, you can decide, I'd rather just watch TV and relax and enjoy my life and not worry about it. That's an option. Except where does that end up? It ends up where the pilgrims ended up in their socialist plan. In our case, we have the opportunity to look at the scenario and say, how can I get involved? How can I work so that I have the capability to protect what it is that I can produce for my family and me? So let me bring this to conclusion. What do the elephants have to do with anything? We've talked about intellectual property. We've talked about the pilgrims. What's up with the elephants? You ever gone to a circus? Remember the Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus? When we were kids, we would go there and you see these massive animals. And they were controlled by the ringkeeper. And they would put a little hook on the elephant just so that he wouldn't move. And you look at it saying, the elephant could throw that off in a heartbeat. Why doesn't he? Well, when elephants were babies, they put a ring around their foot that held them in place. And so the baby elephant would, you know, if you imagine a stake in the ground with a little chain and a ring that goes around the foot of the elephant tries to pull the ring out of the ground. It doesn't work. He's not big enough or strong enough to do it. Well, over time, when that elephant becomes fully grown and could easily pull that ring out of the ground, he doesn't do it because he believes he can't. And that's where we are in America right now. There are a lot of people that don't believe what they have in their mind has value. I'm telling you, it does. Your participation in the free enterprise system as a proud American patriot and the engagement in the political process as you see fit with your God-given rights will change America. Thanks for being here today. We'll talk to you next week.
Making America Strong Again is brought to you by Patriot Mission. To learn more about national restoration, get free resources at www.makingamericastrongagain.com.